You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, August 6th, episode 3748, brought to you today by Poseidon Animal Health. Good morning, horse people.
Ah, Wednesday, the day we cover Glenn's favorite topic.
Horse health.
And Jamie makes you feel better about yourself with the latest weird news from around the world.
Let's go!
Happy Wednesday!
Well, we hope that you're having a great Wednesday so far. We have a good show planned to keep you company today. Dr. Aaron from Poseidon Animal Health is back to answer listener horse health questions on a variety of topics. Social media sensation and horse husband extraordinaire Boopsy is joining us. And we have...
Oh, you're so excited.
I am so excited. He's so cool. And some mighty weird news later on. And then in the Auditor Post show, I assume you still haven't decided on where you're going for vacation yet, right?
Glenn, I'm going on vacation tomorrow, so of course I have not decided.
I have some ideas for you in the post show. I have the top 10 best vacation spots in the world and the top 10 worst ones. So
okay,
we'll go over that. Maybe I'll give you an idea. And we'll see if you're the one you were really thinking about in the worst list. So we'll find out.
Good call.
Where you probably don't want to go right now to vacation is Mongolia, because there's a big race going on. And the Mongol Derby's going on, and I checked in on where the status is as of this morning. And let me just say, my picks the other day are doing very well. Very well indeed.
Okay. Well, I mean, my pick is Michael Pollard. So where's run down the list.
All right. So the leaders are at about 330 kilometers out of 1,000. So we're in day three, I think, now. So they're about a third of the way done. And Cammie Bidding is from the United States, a professional huntsman. And also she's an eventer and she trains young horses. She's leading the way. So good for her. She's not one I had picked, but Sam Phelps I had picked. He was the Aussie cowboy that grew up on a cattle ranch and ridden rodeos and all that stuff. Those two are basically neck and neck right now. So good for Sam Phelps from Australia. He's in there. Another one I picked was Anna Bowden. She was the joint champion of the 2022 Gaucho Derby and has done all kinds of wild rides across the world, long rides and things. And she is sitting in third, tied with Michael Pollard. Yeah, so he's right up at front. I was very impressed to see that he's doing very well. So
now, for those who don't know Michael Pollard, because you gave a bio on everybody, he is an advanced level 5-star eventer. So he's kind of awesome. He's in the Pan Am Games, but he's not 19. You know what I mean?
No, he's got to be in his 40s by looking at him. I don't know for sure, but 30s, late 30s or 40s.
Oh, God, so old. 40s. Ooh.
He's also an endurance climber, like mountain climber. So, yeah, he's a tough dude. And then remember the couple we talked about, Brandon and Lucy, the married couple? They're sitting in 8th and 9th, still riding together. So good for them. This is early on. When you're only a third of the way through this race, as we know from previous years, a lot can happen in the next 5 days.
It's so much the navigation and the drawing of the horses. And there's just so much. Like, I remember we watched Leslie Wiley, way out in front. And then...
Then she lost her tack.
She lost her horse and tack and the whole thing. So, yeah, it can be a big mess.
Yeah, anything can change your day, including the weather, because they get all kinds of weather there. So, yeah, so we'll keep an eye on that and let you know how that's going. Let's do some daily whinnies. I have no birthdays today, believe it or not. So I have no birthdays. But I wanted to say thank you to Helena, Samantha, and Dr. Wendy. I recorded their episodes now for next week. Jamie's on vacation, and we're going to WESA down the trade show down in Dallas. Jennifer and I are both going. So I have brand new episodes for you. I'm calling it Founders Week. These are the three original hosts that started even before this show. So Helena and Samantha and Wendy and I spend an hour with each of them talking about the past, present, and future, what they're up to now. We talk about how they got started with the network and, you know, all of that, some memories, and then we're talking about what they have planned for the future. So look for that in next week's episodes.
So I've got a little bit of a follow-up, and if you recall the other day, I was talking about a young lady named Serafina who kind of narked out to me when I was talking about Royal Vista and the veterinarian who was help facilitating me get this baby horse and all this. And he was like, you should take two. And then, so I guess Serafina is a listener of the show and also knows him and like called him up and told him all the things I said. Well, she heard me talking him calling her a narc. So this saga continues, Glenn. She says she was driving home from the airport yesterday and just turned on the podcast and, yeah, heard me talking about her. And then she called him again. Stop it. I called him right up and told him, thanks for running me over with Jamie in the bus. And I'm like, well, you're doing it again. Stop it. Radio silence from here on.
She's never been to Vegas. You know, what stays in Vegas? She's never been there.
I mean, he's not going to voluntarily listen, Serafina, okay? Don't tell him. I want complete anonymity, radio silence, okay?
She probably almost drove off the road when she was listening to that the other day.
And she's going to do it again. So there you go.
Serafina, you go, girl. Keep it up. I'm not the only one giving Jamie crap on a regular basis.
Guys, I can't live two lives, okay? I need to live two lives. They can't marry, okay? There's no crossing of the streams.
She's tried for years to make that happen, too, that they don't cross, but it's never worked.
Yeah, if you know me, don't listen, because I'm talking about you.
Hey, Keeneland's September yearling sale is coming up, and the racehorse world must be healthy right now. Get this, Jamie. Last year, let me give you last year's numbers, and I'll tell you what this year's numbers are going to be. Last year, the September sales had the world's highest grossing. This is the sale of
yearlings.
Yearlings, right? That's right. So this is, you know, they're early on. They don't even have a career yet. But this is the big sale every year at Keeneland. So the September sale was the world's highest grossing thoroughbred auction in history at $428 million.
Oh my God.
Selling 2,894 horses. A total of 36 yearlings sold for $1 million or more. An average was $147,000, and the median was $70,000. So, you know, it's just crazy numbers here. Well, this year, so remember, last year was 2,894 horses. Registered this year, coming up for September, is 4,686 horses.
Wow. Wow.
So I would assume the more horses there are, the more breeding that obviously is being done, that would mean that industry is healthier?
I would assume it's healthier considering they sold them for $1 million, a record number. Here's what I want to know. Okay, so you're at the Keeneland sales. It's kind of the who's who, the bougie backside of all the people that have money that are going to buy these horses and then send them to the trainers. Okay, so me at an auction, I buy a horse and I'm like, yeah. And then I run out and go see the horse before it gets back to stall. Like, I want to see everything about it. I'm going to look at it. I want to pet it. I want to smooch it on the nose. Be like, welcome to my family. You're like, so great. Do you think that happens at the Keeneland sale?
I think they all just wander out after the auction and they pet the horse on the nose and then the groom flies them home.
Like, I'd be like, yay, I got a horse. Like, probably half the people that bid aren't even there. They're on the phone.
Yeah, I would have guessed. You've been to that auction house at Keeneland, right? You've gone into it has a feeling when you walk in there. It does.
I've been to the yearling sales. And so here's what I notice is when people buy the horses, you never know who it is. Because I'd be like, you know, the guys in the front, they're
subtle.
Like, yep, there's a bit. They barely bid because they don't want anybody else to know which horses they like and all this. And I'm like, over here! Me! I'll take it! Me! Next bid! Yes! And so I didn't see any of that when I was at the Keeneland sales.
Big surprise.
It's like, they're all secretive. And I'd be like, oh my God, you guys, like, totally smelt this horse. Like, oh my God, I'm so excited! No, none of that. And I'm confused by it. I'm confused.
Well, there we go. We're going to get results. I bet you it's over $500 million this year. $500 million. Wow. Dollars. It'd be crazy numbers this year.
Well, I do have some of my racehorse horses going in the sales soon. So we'll see how that goes.
Okay. Well, we're going to head off.
Here comes the money, Glenn. It's going to roll in any minute.
We're going to head off to Dr. Erin is joining us from Poseidon, and she's going to be answering some listener questions for us.
I'd love to welcome to the show Dr. Erin Roddy from Poseidon Animal Health. Hello, Dr. Erin.
Good morning. How are you?
Well, I'm good. I'm good. So we've been doing a monthly segment with you where we are having listeners submit questions and you try to answer and we try to get through as many as possible. Well, our first listener question comes from Mel, and she says and writes in that she has an OTTB that is a nervous traveler. He loads fine, but is just so nervous when in the trailer. He gets the runs. He sweats a lot. She said, I try to give him good hay to distract him, but he hardly eats when he is in the trailer. Any help would be appreciated.
Oh, this is a great question. I get this question all the time, and I have experienced this a lot in my life, and it is very frustrating. So thank you, Mel. I think there's a lot of people out there that are in the same situation. Traveling for horses is stressful, and we have to remember that sort of what we do with horses in general in training is we desensitize them. We train them to accept the things we want them to do. So they learn to load on the trailer because that's what they're being asked to do. And they're performing for us and behaving and answering the question. But then once they're on there, it's just like being afraid of flying. They can't help that they're nervous. If anybody ever wants to have a fun experiment, I always recommend anyone who drives a horse in a trailer takes a turn riding in the back because it is not fun. It's loud. It's bouncy. You're swaying around all the time. You don't know when you're going to stop or turn or go or a big truck's going to come by. And it is one of the stressors in our horses' lives that I don't think we put enough seriousness with, because it is really stressful for horses. The loudness, right. It can be very hot in a trailer. So they do get nervous. And that stress is actually physiological. It affects how their muscles feel. It actually takes a lot of core strength for them to be able to stand up while the trailer is bouncing around and swaying and stopping and going forward. And it actually affects their microbiome. So that stress that they feel causes a release of cortisol, and that cortisol affects their whole body. And we start to see good bacteria die. We start to actually see a change in the way that their microbiome works and the way that their gut lining works, which can lead to leaky gut syndrome. We also often see that adrenaline and cortisol cause their guts to speed up, right? So we'll often see loose manure because they've signaled to the GI tract, we are in danger. We need to clear some stuff out so that we can run. So all of the things you are seeing are really normal. And what I would suggest, we're going to go back to Dr. Erin's favorite thing, gut health. So trying to protect that stomach, trying to make sure that we're protecting the whole GI tract and the microbiome, and realize that your horse may not eat. Over time, as he gets better and he learns he's not going to the track and he's actually just going to go do something fun, hopefully jump some logs or go for a trail ride, he'll get calmer. But he may always be stressed out by the trailer. And so the best you can do is just support his gut health as well as you can. Make sure your trailer has as much airflow as possible. Keep providing food, keep providing water, even if he's not going to eat it. I always like horses to have been well fed before they go on the trailer. So if they choose not to eat, at least we're not putting an empty stomach on top of an empty stomach. So try to make sure they're hydrated and they've eaten well. And then if that doesn't work, other things that can help are actually earplugs or like a pressure hood or a bonnet with some sound muffling. That can often help horses. And also trailering with a friend who's maybe a little bit calmer and a little bit more used to traveling. That can also be really great because horses are herd animals. So if somebody else is doing it and seems happy about it, they're usually a little bit happier about it as well. But I understand that this may be Mel's only horse and that might not be an option. But those are some sort of out of the box training ideas, but certainly protecting that gut and trying to keep the horse well fed and hydrated is really important.
And by protecting that gut, you guys have the stress paste. Is that what you would recommend?
We do. Yeah. So we, beside animal health, we make a product called Stress Paste, and that is designed to be used in times of stress. It's a very well-named product. And traveling, for me, is one of the biggest stressors in horses. So the pectin in the Stress Paste in particular actually coats the stomach lining. And then it's got B vitamins, vitamin C, vitamin E, amino acids, and then our pre and postbiotic blend, which supports the microbiome. So it is designed to address all of the parts of the horse that get stressed and change physiologically. And it also has one of our favorite ingredients that Glenn now loves is betaine, which keeps hydration in that hind gut. So it really is supporting that horse in the way that they're stressed. And one of the reasons we designed the Stress Paste is that in industry, historically, we've recommended people use omeprazole, which is, you know, a proton pump inhibitor medication when horses are traveling. There's sort of this old wives' tale that horses produce more stomach acid when they're stressed. That's not actually true. They produce the same amount of stomach acid all the time. It's just that when they're stressed, they tend not to eat. So that empty stomach, the acid splashing around, that predisposes them to gastric ulcers. So previously, we've recommended the use of omeprazole to kill that acid. We now know that there's a lot of consequences to that, just like any other medication. So we've actually designed the Stress Paste to be all natural ingredients. So it allows the stomach to work how it should, but it protects it from itself by coating and buffering, and then the amino acids. And then we threw in a bunch of other good stuff, because if you can support the whole horse, why not? So I would definitely recommend that Mel try the Stress Paste, and then some other things like making sure that trailer is well ventilated, making sure we're well hydrated and well fed. And if she can find a friend or use some earplugs, I've found that helps as well.
I love the earplug idea too. That's great. That's great.
It does make a huge difference.
Yeah, absolutely. The next question comes from Katie. My horse has a rash on his muzzle from some sort of allergic reaction to something in the pasture this time of year. What can I put on it to calm it down?
Oh, this is a great question, Katie. I don't know if she has a chestnut horse with a white nose, but often these are chestnut horses with white noses. And you certainly can put topical things on it, things like zinc, or even anything you might use for a diaper rash from a human perspective. Or there are lots of horse products. Anything with sort of aloe vera in it or zinc is going to calm that skin. The other thing to sort of think about, we're going to go back and say it again, is gut health. So often skin rashes are actually a reaction to the horse consuming something in the pasture. And in my experience, the number one differential on my list would be mycotoxins. So usually when we get in the summer, we get wet and warm weather, we see an increase in mycotoxins in the pasture, and that can affect the horse's immune system and cause them to develop these skin rashes. So adding a product with a mycotoxin binder in it can often really help clear up these strange skin presentations. We can see mycotoxins in feed and in hay, but warm, wet pasture is our number one source of mycotoxins in horses. So you can certainly use a topical product to calm that down, but I would also just look at your gut health and try including a mycotoxin binder in the diet. That can make a big difference.
Gotcha. Good idea. Okay. Geraldine says, what can you do for equine melanomas in, and she specified bay horses. What are the differences between sarcoids and equine melanomas, and how can you tell the difference?
I love this question because I have a lot of people that tell me that bay horses cannot get melanomas. We think only gray horses can get melanomas, and that's definitely not true. Melanomas can happen in horses of any color. What's interesting about melanomas in a bay horse is that they are more common to be malignant in a bay horse than in a gray horse. So our gray horse melanomas are typically benign. We don't worry about them too much unless they start growing a lot around the rectum or the parotid glands where they might interfere with the horse's health. But in a bay horse, in our colored horses, melanomas tend to be more malignant. So it's really important to tell whether you have a melanoma or a sarcoid. The best way to do that is to get your veterinarian out. They'll look at the tumor. They'll often take a fine needle aspirate where they just put a needle in and draw out some cells, and then they'll submit those to the lab for testing. If it is a malignant melanoma in a bay horse, we're going to want to remove it. And that will either involve surgery, it could involve lasering the tumor, it could involve cryotherapy where we freeze it. And that will depend a lot on the size of the tumor and its location in the horse. There is also a vaccine that exists in dogs for melanoma, and we have used that a little bit in horses, but it's a little bit controversial about whether or not it's effective, and it's more commonly used in younger gray horses than in colored horses. But in terms of telling the difference between a sarcoid and a melanoma, a sarcoid is normally more of an angry looking tumor. So it will often be sort of crusty or scabby. They tend to occur more on the appendages, like the legs and the head, where melanomas tend to occur more on the body of the horse. And sarcoids, if you piss them off, they get even angrier. So with both kinds of tumors, I recommend getting your veterinarian out. They'll look at it. They'll take some photos. They'll take some measurements. They'll take some samples, and they'll tell you which kind of tumor you have. And definitely the treatments can be very different. So super important to get your vet out. But if you do suspect a melanoma in a bay horse, I would be a little bit more aggressive in treating it, because they can tend to be more aggressive than in our gray friends.
Gotcha. Okay, now we'll go to a question that I have for you. I have been on the phone all morning with my veterinarian, my farrier, and the owners of this horse that's here in training. And then I come up and see you're on today. So yay, I get to get a second opinion, if you don't mind.
I do not mind at all. Let's give it a whirl. What's happening? Okay. What's happening with the horse?
Okay, so I have this horse, and he is here for some kind of targeted fitness. He's a racehorse, and he ran all spring and into the summer, and they wanted to give him the summer off. So they brought him to their house. They have a big farm. They pulled his shoes, and they turned him out and just to give him the summer. Well, unfortunately, during that time, he developed IUPF, which, for those who don't know, is intermittent upward patellar fixation. And so his stifle inadvertently locks. And I obviously assumed that it was because he was super fit, and then he goes to just standing around, and those ligaments become locked. I'm like sadly an expert on this. So those ligaments got lax, and then it intermittently locks. So the treatment for that is to go back to work, right? So he has been doing trotting elevated poles, walking and trotting elevated poles with or without side reins. And then I have a hill. I've been taking him and letting him trot and canter up the hills and just doing all this fitness work. But since they pulled his shoes, unfortunately, I can't, and he's going to go back to the track in a couple of weeks. So I didn't want to put shoes on him, and he's got very flat, very thoroughbred feet, very flat feet. So I've been putting hoof boots on him. So that's been fine, and everything's been going great. I put the hoof boots on him for work, and then I take him off. And then, unfortunately, it looks like he blew an abscess out of one of his heel bulbs, which he wasn't lame at all. So now I can't put the hoof boots on him because he's feet hurt, and then I'm supposed to run him up a hill. And so I called the owners, and I'm like, what do you guys want me to do? And they're like, okay, well, what do you think we should do? So I call my vet. And so basically, he needs to work, but he needs to stand in a stall for a month, you know, and grow some foot. Unfortunately, that would exacerbate the IUPF. So I'm like in this big circle of like, he needs work, but he needs to not work. And so the idea was to put some shoes on him. This is like after my hours of phone calls, and I'll just tell you what we decided. And you can tell me, I didn't want to put shoes on him because here he would wear steel shoes. And when he goes back to the track, he'll be wearing aluminum. So if he goes back to the track in 2 weeks and then they have to pull those shoes, and then I'm messing up the integrity of the horse's hoof. That, you guys, this is why I don't sleep. Okay, so messing up the integrity of the hoof and then putting different shoes on, and then it would just be a big problem. So my vet this morning was like, listen, find out if he can go gallop with shoes and pads. So put some steel shoes and pads on him and see if in a couple of weeks, if that'd be okay for him to go back to work. So with all that being said, your turn. What do you think?
Let's just start with horses, right? Okay. Horses. They love to back us into corners, don't they? Yes. I think your vet is 100% right. I think you need to alleviate the foot pain. I guess I'm a little bit confused about why he can't wear the boots. Maybe I'm not in that. I'm not visualizing. It's always fun to do these things, not getting to see the horse, right?
Yeah. And I didn't tell you about this until right now. So the reason stop using the boots was it looks like he blew an abscess out of the heel. And so now his heels are sore to the pressure, and putting the boots pressure on that looks like where he blew out the abscess. And so his heel bulb is very sore. So then I put the boots on and he's sore in the he's more sore with the boot on because it's putting pressure on that spot on his heel bulb.
I understand completely. Yep, that okay. You are in a pickle. I totally agree that he needs to keep working. I guess there's a couple of options, and it's always hard with a performance horse because humans like to put performance horses on schedules, and the horse might not have that schedule written down. So, you know, the other option would be delay him returning to the track for a couple of weeks to allow his feet to get a little stronger so that you can do the work that you want him to do. Another option that nobody's really mentioned would be to use some non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs like Bute, which would help him be not so sore in his feet. The interesting thing about foot soreness is obviously we don't want to work a lame horse and we don't want to make horses lame or sore. But if you know the cause of the problem, which in this case is foot soreness, it's a little bit like me knowing that I've got a bad back and I take the Advil and I ride the uncomfortable horse anyways, because I know that it's not actually making my back worse and there's nothing I can do about my back. And I do really enjoy riding the uncomfortable horse that puts my back out. So you could use targeted Bute in this situation for, you know, say 5 to 10 days, making sure that we're obviously protecting his stomach at the same time. But that might allow you to put him back into work for the next couple of weeks without putting the shoes back on that seem like maybe they're going to mess with what they want to do at the racetrack. And that is something we do with performance horses, is we use targeted non-steroidals to get them through a period of time while his feet get better and he recovers from his abscess. And it actually might be quite nice for him to not be sore in his feet. It sounds like he's suffering a little bit. But barring that, the shoes and the pads definitely sounds like a good idea. And they may just have to train him at the track with shoes and pads on for that first cycle. The other thing I want to add in, just because we brought in the upward fixation of the patella, which Jamie's using very fancy words, most of us just call it a locking stifle to keep it simple for everybody out listening at home. If you do have a horse with a locking stifle, work is certainly important, but there's a couple of other options which actually involve blistering those patellar ligaments. So way back when, we used to actually cut the patellar ligaments, and that would help them to tighten up so we didn't have this locking stifle problem. The other thing we do now is we actually inject the patellar ligaments, and the injection of sort of stimulating them makes them become inflamed, and then they tighten up on their own. And it's a very easy procedure to do. It just happens under sedation. It's no harm to the horse whatsoever. They keep working. And usually within 2 to 4 weeks, those patellar ligaments tighten right back up. So if anybody's in that situation, oh, look, all different sorts of things. Iodine and almond oil is what I use, but most vets have their own concoction. It's really just the action of kind of getting in there and annoying those patellar ligaments again. The iodine just irritates them a little, and that irritation causes some inflammation, and the inflammation causes them to tighten up. So we're actually just causing them to fibrose a little bit, but the tightening stops the locking of the patella. So that's just another thing to add in. Yep.
I will tell you, as the client/trainer, and then you are the veterinarian, that is fantastic. And that is definitely one thing that has been discussed, is to blister it. But as the veterinarian, you blister it and you leave. And I'm the one who has to work him when he's been blistered. And oh my God, they get very angry. They don't like to work when they've been blistered. So I was like,
interesting. I have not had that experience. I haven't found. So it's actually very common in, I do a lot of work with warm blood sport horses, and most of our warm bloods are quite big, and they often don't get broken in until they're 3 or 4 years old. So we have very large baby horses that have done very little in their life, especially because a lot of horses nowadays aren't sort of running acres and acres of rolling pasture, which is what we would like young horses to be doing. So you'll often have what I call a big fluffy baby come into you at 4 years old, having sat on the couch and eaten potato chips his whole life. And then we want to break him in and get him doing something, and his stifles are locking all over the shop. And so it's a very common procedure to perform in a young warm blood at the start of their career. And I really haven't experienced any resentment towards it. So that's certainly interesting feedback. And again, if you did experience resentment, that's where I would use some non-steroidals. And I know that Bute and things have gotten a bad name because of overuse in the industry, but they do have a place. And I think getting horses out of discomfort is always our number one goal. And so there's certainly a role to use non-steroidals to make these horses a little bit more comfortable in the interest of long-term comfort. Obviously, I don't think that covering up, you know, an injury or a lameness that's going to get worse is acceptable. But if we're just having a little bit of foot soreness and we need to get through it, or we've done a procedure and we need to get through it, I think getting that horse out of discomfort for their long-term health is okay.
As always, thank you so much for all of your time and your advice. It's like having just a friend come on and talk horses every month. So, Dr. Aaron, where can people get a hold of you to learn more about Poseidon Animal Health?
Thanks so much, you guys. I love coming on. I love hearing the listener questions. And, you know, it's like being in school. They say if you've got a question, for sure, somebody else in the class does too. And I think it's great that people are getting their questions answered. If you want to learn more about our products or gut health in general, PoseidonAnimalHealth.com is our website. And we've got blogs, we've got links to our webinars, we've got all sorts of educational information about gut health, and then obviously our products. And I love coming on and getting to talk to you guys and inadvertently talk to all the listeners who want to learn about horses. It's a
and
lot of
thanks
fun.
For coming out to see Scooter.
Oh yeah, I got to come and meet Scooter, and hopefully we're gonna get his gut health doing a little better. He's a little bit like Jamie's thoroughbred. He's trying to give us some trouble,
to
back us into a corner. So
well, I did appreciate
those
you coming
are the
out.
Special ones. No,
thanks
it was
so
lovely to
that.
Meet Glenn in person and meet Scooter. So always good to be with you guys.
Thanks, Dr. Aaron.
Tired of toxic fly sprays that don't work? Bye Bye Insects is the fly spray that delivers botanical ingredients and powerful protection. The science-backed formula smells amazing, works even better, and is safe for both you and your horse. No toxic chemicals, no compromise, just comfort you can count on, in the barn or on the trail. Bye Bye Insects by Spalding Labs. Get yours now at spalding-labs.com.
Well, coming up next, and actually there's some auditors that posted this video in the audit room, and that's where I saw it. So, and then I knew I had to get this guy on. I'm going to play the video that 1.3 million people have seen now, and then we'll get him on.
When men say they like a natural woman, what they mean is they want someone who is an inexpensive upkeep.
A cheap, inexpensive woman? That's a fairy tale, my friend. A lie. A bedtime story told by stuck-up women who think other women need to be like them to cover up some form of insecurity. Look, every woman is expensive. Every damn one of them. Some just run on lashes, leggings, and lattes, designer bags, Botox budgets, and oat milk obsessions. They're like startup companies and stilettos, polished, pricey, and prone to emotional software crashes if you ignore their Instagram story. Then there's my wife. Beautiful? Hell yeah. But her brand of beauty comes with barn boots, bug bites, and buckets of feed. Her spa day is scrubbing the water troughs and slapping a tick off for gilding at sunset. You think she cares about a chip nail? Hell, she just built a fence with her damn fist. She don't sneak shopping bags into the house. She smuggles saddles like she's running tack for the cartel. You ever date a woman with a horse? No, because you don't date them, you serve them. And they're hoofed hellions. They bankrupt your account, hijack your holidays, and poop like hay-fueled money shredders. You think Louis Vuitton is pricey? Try feeding a 1,200-pound pasture princess with a personal farrier and more supplements than a CrossFit coach. She don't want roses. She wants you to fix the fence. She don't need a night out. She needs you knee-deep in mud at 5 a.m. holding a flashlight and questioning your life choices. She's not cheap. She's just expensive in horsepower, hay bales, and holy hell vet bills. Her Amazon cart is full of hoof oil and saddle soap. And trust me, this kind of woman, she is full throttle, feed swinging financial investment. And I love her magnificent money pit self.
So there you go. That's Voopsie. And we're going to get Voopsie on right now. I had to talk to this guy. I am so excited. I am always excited when we have a horse husband on, but I'm very excited to have this particular horse husband on because he's become very famous being a horse husband. His name is Joseph. You know him better as Boopsie. That's right, Boopsie. And about a million followers across all his platforms know him as well. And is it crazy to hear that, Boopsie?
Quite honestly, it is. I mean, you know, just growing up and just doing the normal life thing, and then suddenly you've got a million people who are paying attention to you because you're just an idiot with a phone. I mean that's kind of what it is. I mean, an idiot with a phone.
Oh no, we just listened to your video about your wife. That is so well written and so well done. I would not call that an idiot with a phone. I would call that with a very bright dude with a phone.
I would call it aggressive and angry and ridiculous.
I would call it, I love it.
when I looked at your information and all the invites and I said, oh gosh, there's a lady on the show. She's going to rip me one.
But you forget, she's been putting up with me every day for 15 years. So
and you have to also realize, I also have to realize I'm married to you basically in another human form. So I get it. I always say to my husband, I'm like, if you think it's hard to be around me, you should try being me. It's like way harder. So just carry on knowing that, to be fair, I'm not going to rip you to pieces because I'm just going to listen to what you have to say and go apologize to my husband later. Okay, carry on.
So did you marry the horse thing or were you a horse guy or what?
Oh my gosh, I married into it. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say like I'm a city slicker, but I mean, my childhood pets didn't weigh 1,200 pounds and they didn't need shoes, you know, hammered to their feet or anything like that. So I had no idea what I was getting into, quite honestly, when we got married a little over 17 years ago.
How long did it take you to realize you were in for a lifetime of this kind of torture?
It was right after I got bucked the first time getting on bareback and I hit the ground. And she just looked at me and goes, hop up, buddy.
Yeah. Why did you get on a horse bareback? Why?
Because, were you drinking? We were just grooming the horses and, you know, just having a little short ride. We were going to literally like go down the road in her little small farm town of Sanford, Oklahoma. And it was just a small ride. Like she's done it 9,000 times. Yeah, I hadn't, you know, she's like, oh, they're good. They're fine. It's okay. It's wonderful. Yeah, it wasn't when my 280 pound butt hit the ground. And then she just stared at me like, why are you still sitting there? Get up. Okay.
So horse girl. She was testing you. This was a test.
Yeah. I mean, I'm used to that. I mean, I played football. I wrestled and stuff like that. But I was like, I've never literally been thrown a couple of feet by another anything. It's like the first time. I'm the big guy. I'm the one that everybody looks at in the room is like, oh, he's huge. The horse looks at me like, oh, I gotta swat this guy.
So how many horses does she have? Do you even know? Have you counted?
Just two.
Oh,
just
okay.
I am thankful it's just two.
Yeah.
She's had several over her life, but no.
Are they the same color? Okay. Dang it.
No, not the same color, not the same breed.
What does she have? Quarter horse or what do you know?
It's a quarter horse Appaloosa mix.
Okay.
And then an Arabian.
Oh wow, that's a combination. So
yeah.
Does she compete at all?
She used to.
Yeah.
She used to.
She got out of that.
Now they're just, you know, hay burning diesel chugging rhinestone studded money incinerators. It's just like, you know, hey, just here you go. Here you go. What do you do with them? I feed them. I wash them. I mean, they're old. They're old now, but I just, you know, the long time of constant grass going in and out of them, it's, you know, it's fun.
Has she talked about a new one now that they're old?
She has not. I'm surprised at that because, you know, she loved it so much and we have a couple of kids. I think I'm going to be losing your number after this call and erase it. I will block you from her social media. Thank you very much.
So tell me, you have kids too, right?
Four kids. Yes, sir.
I know some of them are daughters because of your fingernail getting painted. I saw that video. I did see that one. And it is kind of funny to see a guy looking like you with your fingernails done. I got to tell you.
It's fun. You have to incorporate all the aspects of life because, I mean, I feel like I have to be tough for my son, but also calm, cool, collective, and, you know, and nice and sweet and gentle for the girls. It's a duality. It's like, you know, you got to play all the parts. It's not an easy role. And I've got three girls, so you know, it's a little rougher.
Yeah,
three girls, one boy.
It's going to be for the next 15 years. So,
Did
they get into horses too, or are they kind of not into the horse thing?
They're not as much into the horse thing, I will say that my daughter reacted a lot better than I did when she got bucked the first time, so I am a little bit ashamed about that, and I don't think that I can live it down ever. So she rolled off the back, the quarter horse kind of reared up just a little bit, you know, I mean, I think my daughter was like 8 at the time, reared up just a little bit, she rolled off the back, hit the ground, stood up, kind of stared at mom. Mom said, all right, get back on. And she did. And, that was it. I was expecting a little bit more. And, but yeah, she just hopped back on. So my daughter's a little tougher than me when it comes to that. And I was, 30 by that time. So I'll blame it on old age and busted bones.
Us horse husbands are really good at whining. That's one thing we're good at. I think it's a necessity, though. I think it's our defense mechanism is to whine.
Yeah, it's pretty much like the man flu. It's the same thing. It's just in all aspects. There's a little bit of, you're going to give me a little sympathy in there or no?
No is the answer. Not from a horse.
No is the answer, but there's always a little bit of hope left in there.
So did you set out to be a social media sensation or did that just happen doing one video at a time?
It just kind of happened. I mean, I jumped into TikTok world and things like that many, many moons ago when it first started, but life just kind of gotten like, I like to share and just talk. It's an outlet really. There's so much junk in my head and I'm like, who am I going to tell it to? Oh, everybody out there. But I stopped for years. And then a buddy of mine started doing it and I was like, that is kind of fun. And I remember doing this and the interaction's cool and you get to tell stories and people actually listen. It's almost like the world chooses the not so celebrity that they want to follow. Just put yourself out there and they just, hey, that I like that thing.
You're right. So that's absolutely true of YouTubers and short people who do shorts like you do. It's absolutely true. And you know what? It's nice to have an option not watching mainstream media as much anymore, right?
That's true. There's not much out there. And there's always a fresh new story and a fresh new face on social media.
So you're known for your wordsmithing. And people heard that in the video we played earlier about your wife. So you're known for that. Did you go to school? Were you a poet? Where the hell did that come from?
Oh, man.
Years of frustration.
It's punishment, actually. It's punishment. You see, every kid who grew up in our era, you're used to the, whether it's the belt, the spatula, the chancla that gets thrown across the room, you're used to that. But as a child, even being inquisitive was a punishment for me because, you ask, hey, dad, why is the sky blue? And I did not get an answer. I was told to go research it. So it was like, okay, not only did I just not get my answer, I now have homework because I had the entire set of the Encyclopedia Britannica on the top of our library shelf. I had to get the right one down, research it. And this is the kicker. And I wish I was joking. Write a page report for your dad and mom to be read by dinner time. Proving that you learned something.
Wait a minute. Let me rewind here a little bit. So you went from that to marrying a horsewoman. You are a glutton for punishment.
But at least I have a little bit of sarcasm and wit and I can say things really nice. It doesn't matter when she says do it anyways.
I love reading the comments on your videos. I do. Just the comments are the best part of your videos, to be honest, because you have everything. You have every age. You have every social class. You have everything in your videos. It really is something to read the comments.
It's fun to be able to touch a little bit. I mean, I am, kind of the crotchety old guy. So there's probably a lot more of the, the Gen X and older kind of crowd, but there's a little bit of just enough to touch every little facet. So you get the coming in from the 20-year-old guy who is thinking about marrying the woman is like, do I really want to get into this? Is horses my life? Is this what I want to sign up for?
You kind of remind me a little bit. You're not quite there yet, but you will be in another 20 years. Walter from the Jeff Dunham, his one puppet, Jeff Dunham's puppet. You're kind of getting there to Walter's stage.
I got to work on the gruffness of the voice just a little bit more. And, and then his catchphrase, I'm not there yet saying that enough. So
So do you see this? Is this a full-time gig for you now, the social media stuff?
No, I honestly spend maybe an hour recording videos, but in my free time, like everybody else, I doom scroll, but I get millions of ideas and thought processes and you take 20 different, I remember that from my childhood or, this is a thing that I have an experience with. Let me share my version. So I have a full-time job. I raise my family doing all the normal stuff, but I try to squeeze in a little bit of this fun as much as I can. It's fun. It's a release, and I'm not going to lie, it helps pay a bill or two. So
yeah, I'm sure it does it never pays as much as people think it does. I mean, that's
no, not even
people
close.
Think you're making, $100,000 a month, and you have to be on OF to do that. You're not making that. So,
well, like, I mean, dad's only is my next step in the social media world, but
that's perfect. Do you have it being developed now? Because you could make a fortune. Dad's only.
Dad's only, I could probably go out there with a chainsaw and a red flannel shirt.
Yeah.
And turn a lot of heads, but.
I think it's great. I love that idea. I'm going to help you design that. I'll call you later. Okay. We'll get that going. That's my retirement right there.
The idea is to get people to tune in, not turn away. It's a little scary. I'm just saying. I mean, what Boopsy stands for, right?
It stands for, is it the big ugly piece of crap?
That's right. I'm just going to say, nobody wants to see this. I don't even want to see this. And I got to look at it in the mirror every morning. It's horrible.
That is what it stands for, Jamie, is big ugly piece of crap.
I know. Yep. And here's what the thing is. Like, my husband was raised in Oklahoma. And you actually live fairly close. Like, you're kind of down the street. So I'm a little nervous about all of this. I don't think you should hang out with him.
Well, I'm just going to say I did my research to figure out who I was talking to this morning. I might, he might get a little instant message. I don't know.
Thank you for joining us. Where can people find you? On every platform, just look for BUPC. Is that?
It's kind of, I put the combination, both the acronym and how it sounds. So BUPC or BOOPSY.
We'll put links in the show notes to this too. I really appreciate you made my day. Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It was a fun time.
Non-GMO whole food nutrition is the basis of the entire Daily Dose Equine program. We never forget that natural is better and simplicity is key. Daily Dose Equine uses non-GMO whole food ingredients like alfalfa, timothy, peas, sunflower seeds, and flax. Daily Dose Equine doesn't use fillers, bulking agents, or leftovers from other industries, so you can feed less yet improve body condition and energy. And our feeds are free from chemical residues and glyphosate. Find the perfect formulation for your horse at dailydoseequine.com. Select Daily Dose Equine formulations are available nationwide through Chewy.com and TractorSupply.com.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers? The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Time to learn why some days you're embarrassed to be part of the human race in Jamie's Weird News.
That's right. It's that time of the week where we tell you all the weird things that are happening all over the world today. And I don't even think we're going to Florida today, which is a first, I think. But I would like to thank the people who contributed weird news stories. It was short list. Not a whole lot of weird stuff happened this week. But Melissa, Shelley, Katie, Janelle, and Delia all shared weird news stories. So if you're ever looking through the news and you think, oh my God, that's super weird, email it to me, weirdnews@horseradionetwork.com, and I'll hopefully included in on the show. Right now, we're going to start in South Africa. This is a super cool story, but it's also super weird because, like, who would think of this? It's crazy. So, in South Africa, they're having trouble protecting the rhinos, right? So, like, people, I guess there's a section of humans that think rhino horn is good for their wieners or something.
Yes. That's right. That's right. That's what it's used for. Yep.
Yep. Which is completely ridiculous. So they poaching of rhinoceroses is a big problem. And so anti-poacher organizations have come up with this new way to protect the rhinos. I would say the organization's name, but I can't pronounce it. I'm not even going to try. But basically, a South African university has launched this anti-poaching campaign. And what they're doing is they're injecting radioactive isotopes into the horns of rhinoceroses. Basically, what that means
is, how do you do that without dying?
I know. Here, kitty, yeah. Come here. I mean,
they're like the most dangerous animal in the world.
Yeah. Here, just hold on. I promise it's good for you. Yeah, you know,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
So they did 5 rhinos on Thursday, and they hope that they will do all of the rhinos that are still living because the population is declining so quickly.
This do they glow the then so that the poachers know not to shoot that one?
I don't think that they glow, okay. But what does happen is that the radioactive isotopes can be spotted by customs agents. So you can't smuggle the rhino. It doesn't stop them from killing them, but it stops them. It basically, they try to smuggle this through security at the airport or something, or customs, and they get flagged and then they get arrested. And then you're taking them out that way. So it's a start in the right direction. What I think should hopefully happen is, okay, you guys, we've got all these rhinos, I'm not going to poach any because I don't want to get arrested because I can't smuggle them out of the country. So hopefully it's a trickle-down effect. But yeah, who thinks, hey, you know what we should do? Is just inject radioactive isotopes into the horns of rhinoceroses. That sounds very dangerous.
Well, there's another group out there, and this is real, that is basically our sharpshooters from ex-military, and they formed a group. I forget what it's called. I had a friend that was asked to join this group, and they shoot the poachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's effective, too.
I think that's been going on for quite some time. That's been going on for some time. And
yeah. I don't know how effective that is, but I don't know. But yeah, there's not a lot of those rhinos left. Well, that's just sad.
That would be one job I would take. Oh, really? I get to blast somebody who's trying. Don't get me started.
Let's see the next one.
So, next one.
Out of South Africa, back to Florida.
We're going to go to Somerville, Massachusetts this time, because a woman in Massachusetts was looking out her back patio, and she came. She actually walked out on her back patio and turned around, and she came face to face with a raccoon. And this reminds me of the movie Elf, you know, when he's walking through the forest and he sees the raccoon and he's like, does somebody need a hug? I don't think she actually even tried to give it a hug because, unfortunately, she walked outside and apparently this raccoon jumped into her face while she was on the deck. She said it flew at me from several different directions. It clawed her face, scratched her arms, gnawed her hands, and like attacked her. A raccoon attacked her.
I see rabies shots in her future.
Yeah, she is fine. She was able to go back inside and close the door. There's video of her. Bless her heart. Like, I mean, this was like kind of savage, but weird that a raccoon would attack. So she was able to call 911. She was screaming for help, but she was given all the rabies shots and antibiotics. And I don't even think they found it yet. But apparently they've been eating out of her compost bin off the deck. And she's like, hey, everybody, just to let you know, they're revolting. I'm like, they don't want compost.
Yeah, they didn't like what she put out last night. They want something better. They're bougie raccoons. Well, they do live in Massachusetts. That's part of it, I'm sure.
Oh, my God. There you go. Massachusetts raccoons. It's a thing. Okay, this is
fantastic. If they were Florida raccoons, they'd eat anything. So
they'd take it. Yeah. They don't care. So do you know what the drink Celsius is, Glenn?
Yes, that comes in the cans.
Yes.
Is it an energy drink?
Yes. Okay, so my husband.
Never had one.
Don't drink them. They're terrible, and they're terrible for you, and Chad loves them. Okay, so like what he does is he'll crack his Celsius on when he's driving out of Dallas. It's like good energy drink, gets him going. You know, he doesn't think it's too bad. Well, he's not drinking it anymore because there's a voluntary recall on some Celsius energy drinks. What happened is the The company that, have you heard this?
I saw this. It was made me laugh so much.
The company that makes the, that manufactures Celsius cans accidentally sent a butt ton of cans to be filled to Celsius. Unfortunately, they accidentally sent them to the company that produces High Noon, which is a vodka seltzer. So inadvertently, all the Celsius cans were filled with vodka seltzer. And if you're my husband, that's big trouble when you show up to the airport and you've been drinking, whether you like it or not. Apparently High Noon's beach variety shipped out from July 21st to July 23rd. I mean, multiple thousands and thousands of these cans contain the vodka-based seltzer and were mislabeled as the Celsius Astro Vibe Sparkling Blue Raz Edition. Don't drink anything that sounds like that anyway, okay? Like, if you're drinking something called Astro Vibe Sparkling Blue Raz
Edition. Yeah, you know, there's
edition,
nothing natural in it.
That's not good for you.
Right.
Not. So they are recalling two entire production lots, and they are saying that no illness or adverse events have been reported so far. I would like to tell you that where were they shipped? Let's go.
Oklahoma.
Wisconsin, Virginia, South Carolina, Ohio, New York, and Florida.
Oh, God, we don't need any help in that department. That's funny. Okay, so somebody started drinking that and went, wow, they changed it. They changed it. It doesn't taste anything like it used to
if
taste.
If I took a sip of Chad's, I'd be like, finally, it's delicious. Like, this Blue Raz Edition is amazing, and I feel great.
Yes. Maybe sleepy a little later. Exact opposite of what I thought it was going to do, but you know.
Yeah. I'm a little tired. Well, in Pennsylvania, there was a bit of a traffic issue that happened, and unfortunately, or fortunately, depends on how you feel about your health. Because to me, this takes a lot off the market. But unfortunately, some people love these things, and that is hot dogs. Yes, that's right. Thousands upon thousands of hot dogs, like case upon case of hot dogs, were spilled after the tractor trailer scraped with another car and it filleted open this tractor trailer, and out of the tractor trailer spilled thousands of boxes of frozen hot dogs. So the video from this is, I mean, It's completely covering this freeway. Thousands and thousands of boxes and like a billion hot dogs are on the ground. There were no injuries in the accident, which is why I can talk about them. However, they did have to shut down the freeway and then clean frozen hot dogs, which were melting on the freeway off. Oh, my God. I'm watching these guys.
If the truck had caught on fire, do you know, there would have been a lot of cooked hot dogs.
That's a different smell, okay, than frozen hot dogs rotting on the ground on the freeway, because the freeway's hot. So basically, they're showing these guys that are scraping, they have those big
shovels?
Like poop shovels, and they're shoveling these hot dogs into the front of this tractor, and they're slipping, and they're like, it is so gross. As the hot dogs are like sitting on the freeway cooking and rotting, they're cleaning them up, and they're slipping and sliding like they're on the ice skating rink, and all this hot dog goo.
Some pig farm just got a bonus for their pigs.
Sure. Oh, God. Gross. Well, there's less hot dogs on the market, so watch for a spike in hot dog prices in the Pennsylvania area.
We've had it all on this show, spilled on a highway. We've had beer, we've had hot dogs, we've had all kinds of things spilled
everything
on the highway.
Everything. Well, these
diapers,
are
the one time.
Oh, God, that's right. The diapers. And then, you know, random animals on the highway,
yes,
like zebras or emus or kangaroos in, you know, Kentucky. Who knows, whatever. But yes, these are my favorite stories. We did not, however, have any stories about anybody smuggling animals in their bra.
And nobody naked.
Through TSA. Oh my God, nobody naked. I'm going back to the drawing board. Cut all this out. We're starting over. I got to find some naked people running through security.
If you want to send your weird news in, where do they send it to?
Weird news at horseradionetwork.com. Please, you guys, keep it coming. I love it.
We have a good news story for you to end today, and then we're going to go in and talk a little bit about Jamie's vacation. I'm going to give her some ideas.
Yeah, by the way, people think I'm really weird that I have no idea, but you know what? That is the life of an airline pilot's wife.
I kind of like that, though. Marion and Donald.
Maybe you should marry him, okay?
Marion is 80 years old, and Donald's 81 years old, and they were born in Chicago in the 1940s. They were siblings, but they were separated at birth when their mother, suffering from PTSD, was placed in an institution and the father couldn't care for him. So Marion, just 8 months old, was adopted by a Lutheran minister's family, while Donald, then barely over a year old, was placed with a foster family and later joined the U.S. Air Force and lived all around the world. Well, Donald kind of knew that he had a sister. She didn't know that she had a brother. He knew that he had a sister because I think his parents told him, but her parents never said a word. So in 1963, he started looking for her, and he just couldn't find her. Marion's, the sister's adoptive parents refused to forward his letters. He knew who they were, and he wrote to them, and they would not acknowledge him. They would not tell her or anything. So his daughter spent 20 years combing through records and genealogy databases, and they finally made contact when the sister's son uploaded his DNA to one of the services.
Wow.
And that's how she found this exact match, was through one of the DNA services when the son did it. They finally connected. They got together, and apparently they were so happy to see each other. And she said, "I always thought there was something missing in my life, but I never knew what it was."
Aw, bless her.
After all this time, they still talk all the time. She's planning on making a trip to Florida where he lives. But it was the kids who actually were the ones that made this, you know, made the connection and made it happen. So,
wow, that's amazing. Them. I fully expect someday to have nieces and nephews by the dozens show up. I've told my brothers that, too. I'm like, they'll find me.
Only after you win the lottery, then they'll show up.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, I'm your niece. Hi, come on in. I knew this was going to happen. Have a seat.
That's one I haven't had yet.
All right, everybody, spay, neuter, geld.